This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you know you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, unlike the Owls, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. So there's only one thing left to say, what's everybody having? Order now on the McDonald's app and you can also get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means you'll get some tasty rewards later on. And between you and me, if you order just before kick-off, you can get it just in time for half-time, but I've not told you that. Only via the app at participating restaurants, 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com. See you later.
The Wednesday Week is sponsored by Michael Constantine Wealth Management. We bet you can't find a financial advisor closer to Hillsborough Stadium.
Hello, good evening, and welcome to another... Went wrong straight away, forgotten how to speak. Hello and welcome to another episode of the Wednesday Week. My name is Dan Fudgington. With me tonight, I've got John, Blair and Stevie. We've got the regular bits coming up because, we, like I said to you last week, guys, this is the first time we've managed to have a regular feature that's managed to stay regular. And I know, Blair, I know it's you that you're picking the quiz tonight, aren't you? But one of our listeners last week said they're a big fan of the quiz and they've actually sent me one. So next week we're going to be doing Aisha's quiz, and she's been listening to this show as long as I've been doing it. So, well, you know, if she ain't got pictures of me on her bedroom, then I'm going to be a bit pissed off. But you know what I mean?
Don't give the topic away like I did last week.
Well, you know what? I've actually forgotten.
Is that tonight? Is that because I'm ready?
No. I knew you would have.
Yeah, we'd have cheated. So, right. So, let's go back to last Saturday. Let's talk about the football. John, 2-0 Cambridge. I mean, job done, wasn't it?
Yeah. One of those games where the opposition didn't pose a great deal of a threat, to be fair. We kind of played the similar game to each other. We're both very direct in that game. Quite a lot of long ball from Wednesday, which is not normally our game, but it was effective, particularly on that left-hand side where they kept finding some reason. Cambridge thought it was a great idea to give Barry Bannon, like, you know, freedom of the left-hand side. So we just kept hitting balls to him, and he was able to get in some good positions and put some good crosses in. I thought that I don't think Cambridge were too threatening. It wasn't a great game on the eye, but Wednesday just looked comfortable, and you just needed that second goal to kill it, which, you know, fortunately Lee Gregory managed to get a brace in that game, and that was good for his confidence as well. And ran out fairly comfortable winners, I thought, to be fair. But yeah, it wasn't just one of those games where we keep saying it, don't we? We'd have dropped points last season, you know, in that game. You know, I keep hearing that now every away game, you know. With a drop points from that last season, but I really never saw Cambridge looking likely to score at all. They didn't offer a lot, bit of physicality, but we kind of just played the similar game, but we played it better, which was a more direct style of football.
To be fair, I mean, Smith up front absolutely put himself about, Stevie, didn't he? He was an handful all day, wasn't he?
Yeah, but he's been like that for a few weeks now. He's sort of coming to his own, and I know there were a few issues and concerns about the injuries that he had. He came in at the start of the season and he wasn't fully firing, was he? And it was always going to be sort of a case of easing him in, but with the Gregory red card, I think it was around about the same time, has managed to get him that sort of run in the team. And, you know, over the last sort of 3-4 games, obviously he got the player of the month last month. I think that was sort of, although I voted for Bannon, I think I had no major complaints about the fact that he was in the conversation. He put himself about. He was strong. He was physical. He's what I like about him is that, you know, he's very good on with the ball into him. He holds it in, but he puts himself about a little bit more than Gregory does, doesn't he? Gregory's one who'll hold it up and move things on, whereas Smith will go down and harass and harry in a way that I don't think Gregory does. And I think the two of them together is actually quite a nice partnership. And I'm sure we'll talk about it going forwards, but I think we've got some headaches going forward in terms of team selection, because we've got an abundance of players that everybody would, you know, sort of argue that are going to need to be involved on Saturday. So, you know, putting himself about, the one where he's gone through the goalkeeper, I thought was an absolute, I had no problem with that whatsoever. And the fact that the keeper was going down as if he had his leg amputated was an absolute joke, to be honest with you. But from my point of view, he did the nasty work that he needed to, and that allowed sort of Gregory to have that free reign, that free license. And Windass the same. I thought Windass was very good again without scoring, to be honest with you.
Going a little forward, back heel for the for the goal.
Yeah. The free Backinson up, that, you know, he's whipped it round the corner sort of thing. We look good going forwards. We do. That front line looks really, really good. Listen, it's a nice headache to have. And full credit to Smith. He looked the part on Saturday and has done for a while now.
Yeah, I think you're right. The goal came quite early, Blair, didn't it? And I've got to mention it. There was some great bit of defending from LP2 in that right back position. Smashed the geezer off the ball, didn't he? And then played it through to Windass, who did the little back heel, and then Backinson put an absolute peach of a ball in there, didn't he? That, as a defender, that is a pig of a cross to try and defend.
Backinson, I think I'm the biggest Backinson guy in the biz today. I love it. It's a great. He gets himself about. He wins the ball back. He's got a mistake in him, but we're League One. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Barry Bannon's got a mistake in him. We're not gonna. Well, we will slag him off. Apparently, some people will. But you know, I think Bickerson's great. Like Stevie just said, headache, all positions, all over the pitch. Maybe left side is the only part. It's Johnson, and that's it at the moment. But yeah, Bakinson, he's actually second or third assist now from a very good ball deep from like deep lying playmaker, as they would in the FM speak. I mean, what a ball it was. It was unbelievable. Do you know what I mean? One of them balls that can't defend against. And then when you've got someone as composed as Gregory, get on the end of it. I mean, it's a brilliant start. And then we can't get carried away. The performance weren't great, but going to these small grounds, Cambridge, no, but getting a point against us is a good result. They're not going to open themselves up. I mentioned in the chat, but I think this is the best team we've had for 5 years, and I think it'd be perfect in the Championship. Which a few people was like, nah, it's not good enough for the Championship. But opposition teams like a Blackburn will think we can have these today. Whereas Cambridge aren't saying that about us. They're saying, we get a point today, it's a good result. Whereas teams will open themselves up against us in the higher division. They might play a more expansive game against us in the higher division. I think we've got players to hurt people in the higher division. I honestly think our squad is ridiculously strong for this division. If we don't get promoted, he's got to go, hasn't he? You know what I mean? It's because the squad's that good.
You know what? This is the first time, and I saw somebody when I think we'd drawn or we'd lost or something ridiculous, and somebody said, and I've not heard this about a Wednesday manager before. This is a new set of whinging that I've never heard before, and it was, move more upstairs, get him in charge of recruitment, and then get a coach in who knows what he's doing with the players.
He just can't take, but we're wrong about him. Do you know what I mean? I can't admit I'm wrong. I admit it. Last season I was more out 100%. You know that. I've done a full 180. It's proper won me over.
Oh, so. Look at you.
Yeah.
I think there's that. He's got like this highest win percentage ratio as well, hasn't he? But then you get the
caveat of
saying, yeah, because you know it's League One, but
you've got League One players.
All matches in all leagues, you've got to play what's in front here. And look, we're a scout for most teams in League One. And that's not us being big-headed or harping into the past. Sheffield Wednesday will always be a big scalp in what's effectively the third division of English football. Will always be a big scalp while ever we're that far down the pyramid. So teams are going to want to come and park the bus and get a point or more. And away games are going to be particularly much more difficult because we're probably to be their biggest gate of the season. So in that, if you look at it that way, it's actually a testament to Darren Moore to get that kind of win percentage, given all the factors that are up against us.
I tell you what, when we finished recording last week, I listened to the Wednesday Till I Die phone-in show. And their host, James, on there asked the question, is there anybody still in the Moore out camp? And there was a guy, it was like the last caller of the day, because I think I just caught the last 10, 15 minutes. And it was interesting because the guy said he's still in the Moore out camp, but there weren't many people on him, on his side anymore, which was kind of nice, you know what I mean? And he said, I just don't think he's forgiven him for some of the mistakes he's made trying to get the formation right and the team together and all the rest of it. And Alex Miller was on there and he speaks really well. And he said he spends a lot of his time defending Darren Moore to people on the internet, because obviously these people are more vociferous and all the rest of it. And then the end of that story is they give away a mug every week, and the guy that slagged off Darren Moore for 5 minutes ended up winning it. But you know, that's how it goes. But the
clearly the people that comment on my Twitter don't listen to Wednesday Till I Die podcast.
Yeah, two different audiences, lads. You know what I mean? But yeah, I found it really interesting to see that there were still people in that camp, because, like you said, John, there's always that caveat of, but League One. You know what I mean? And I think that's probably going to haunt more until we get out of this league. And
from January, our points total, our goal scoring record is ridiculous, and that just can't be denied. Like from January onwards, we've been phenomenal, really, haven't we?
But it did take him away. It did take him a while to
That's why I was so against him last season, because
he didn't have. You know, like, all right. Yeah. I'm going to use Tony Pulis as an example because he's the most vociferous example. You can go, this is how Tony Pulis plays football, or you know, it's very much in the Martin Allen, you're there boat. You know what I mean? We know how that works, and you'd think a manager should come in and should go, this is my, what's the term?
Ethos. Philosophy.
This is my philosophy. This is my ethos. This is how I play football. And what Moore did was do it the other way around, because we were fighting for survival and all the rest of it. He came in and there was a bit of tinkering and all the rest of it. And then he brought in some players in the summer, very good players as well for the level we were playing. We, you know, it's not like we absolutely shit the bed last season. But again, there was still that little bit where he was like, we should be able to play 4-4-2 now, or 4-3-3, or 5-4-7-2. You know what I mean? But he didn't seem to know. And that kind of irked me a little bit. I thought, but then I thought there are probably in any other role in the world, in a job, you come in and you do it your way, or you come in and you adapt to what's there. And I think Moore zigged when he should have zagged on that one. I think he should have gone in and gone, this is how I play football. And I don't think he did.
We also need to add, in the summer, he addressed the defence. Do you know what I mean? We've had 8 clean sheets this season.
Mm.
We've only played 14 games. Over half of them, we've had a clean sheet. So, I mean, that's not bad management. In the summer,
you say he's addressed the defence, but we can go back 6 months, 8 months or whatever. We were talking about having Peacock Farrell, all right, was a little bit more divisive than certain other players, but we've got an international goalkeeper that he's brought in, so he's done that. He's brought Jordan Story in last season.
That was January.
Yeah, but he's still addressing it last year, and you're talking about him over the summer as addressing defence. He's done that. He was doing it last year.
You do your big changes in the summer, don't you? So in the summer,
you do your big changes when you can. You do your big changes as was. And I'm not for a second suggesting that he got everything bang on in the summer, in the summer of 2021, because clearly he hadn't. He brought Story in. He brought Harley Dean in. What I'm saying is, and, you know, I take on board what you're saying. He'd recognise that he'd not got things right in July 2021 and gone, shit, I can't play Marvin Johnson left centre half. I need to bring somebody in because that's not right.
Never again.
Yeah. Do you know what I mean? But that, you know, you at that point you can go back and sort of worry or with retrospect, with hindsight, you go back and say, what was the plan last summer? Whatever it was, wasn't right. But he knows, and this is the thing that gets me about Darren Moore, when we're all sitting here behind keyboards on social media, whatever it is, we're sitting there going, he ain't got a clue. He don't know what's going on, blah, 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 blah. I've said before loads of times, he's operating at a level that we can only dream of, because we sit here and offer our opinion because we're fans, but he's a professional doing a job. Do you know what I mean? And he knows more than we'll ever forget. That's a fact. Yeah. And when things aren't going right, what I like about Darren Moore is even in the face of absolute horrendous grief that he gets on social media, he comes out, he talks about the club, he bigs up the fans, he admits when things haven't necessarily gone as well as he might have done. All right. Some people can turn around and go, he says things and you think, don't agree with that. And I've done that this year, but, you know, on par, he's keeping a group of lads together and built a mentality within that squad that I think is second to none. And it's testament to the fact, like you've just said, Blair, you look at our 2022 from a goal scoring perspective, the fact that we've kept these clean sheets, the fact that we went on the run that we've gone on, we're sitting where we are this season at the moment, that all sits with one person at the moment. You know, it all sits with one guy, and that's him. He's put this team together. He's put the squad together. We will argue about Plymouth and the subs. We will argue about formations that we don't agree with. There were times on Saturday that I didn't necessarily agree with what we weren't set up right in the first half. I don't think we were. Barry Bannon playing out, and I know that John said Bannon out left created opportunities. I thought he was wasted on Saturday, to be honest with you. I thought the game changed in terms of our performance and our dominance of the game changed when Darren Moore turned around second half and went, you know what, this ain't right. So I'm going to go to three at back. I'm going to put Byers on. I'm going to take Smith off, even though he played all right. And when we went to when George Byers came on and McGuinness came on and played left centre half, I thought we were a much better side.
Yeah, but Byers definitely changed it, didn't it? You could see when he came on and he could go back into the middle and get a hold of the ball and actually get it down and start playing a bit more rather than pinging balls out wide and stuff. And like you said, Bannon, yeah. He did have a lot of space out there, but I agree with you, Steve. I want him in middle, really. I don't want him out on the flanks. I want him in the hole, to be honest. And I think when Moore made them changes, I agree entirely with you. I thought we looked to a much better side.
It's interesting. Go on.
We've got such a good squad now. I think no matter what changes he makes, apart from taking Bannon and Mindus off at the same time. I think like the players you're bringing on are always going to change the game. Do you know what I mean? So he brought on Byers and McGuinness on Saturday, changed the game. But if you had Byers and McGuinness starting that game and you brought on Bakinson and who did he take off for and Smith, yeah. You know what I mean? You brought them two on. I think that would change the game as well. So I think we just got like I say again, it was a silly good squad for this division.
We've got the quality and the strength in depth to allow mistakes to be made and get away with it still, because we've got that enough on the bench to come on and turn games, whether it's tactically to be a better shape or whether it's because we need a goal or whether we need to close a game out, which we've struggled in the past, notoriously so. We've now got that strength and depth to be able to, and with a 5-sub rule as well, which I always keep harping on about, but obviously you see that, you know, coming to fruition, that we can start games, not play well, doesn't look right, and we've got the strength and depth to change it, to get a result and to close games out. So I think that's just, like you said, testament to our squad depth at this level.
I couldn't work out what formation we're playing. Now, I've just gone onto the BBC Sport website here and it says 4-4-2 with Bannon and Windass on the wings. But I did we do that Italy formation from like 2012 where it was something like 4-2-2-2? Have we done that? Is that what we did?
I thought it was more of that. We talked about it last week against Morecambe, didn't we? I thought it was more of the 4-2-2-2 last week. I think, as daft as it sounds, almost for that first half at times, it looked like he's gone, lads, I want you to go and play. Go play. We've got a back four. Rest of you. You can go and do what you want.
Yeah. It kind of looks like that, doesn't it?
But like, they kind of migrate. Bannon migrated out to the left and Windass tended to migrate out to the right. But it was almost like to me, it seemed like we'd set up with a three of Bannon, Volks and Bakinson in the middle, with Windass having a bit of a free role. But as the game progressed, Bannon started drifting out to the left. You know, people will tell me I'm talking nonsense, but that just seemed to be how the game evolved in the first half. I think if you listen to their fella came out, after the game and went, oh, we've done really well to stifle their big players, and we've done this and we've done that. And, you know, we kept Bannon quiet, we kept Windass quiet, we kept... I don't know what game we were watching, because Windass, he set that first goal up.
He did. Windass, I think, is a cheat code in this league. I genuinely believe it. And obviously with Bannon and all the rest of it, but we've got a great squad. We have a really good squad. I mean, Stockdale made a great save on his near post. I think that was probably one of two or three saves he had to make. According to this website I'm on now, apparently they had 11 shots on goal. Didn't see that many. But one player I want to talk about, Blair, is Bakinson. He's making a bit of a claim for a bit of a shirt, isn't he?
Like Stevie says,
there's an headache coming here for Darren Moore.
Yeah, but who? He could have five good games. As soon as there's one bad game, he's got the competition breathing down his neck. Ridiculous. So they can't let up. It's not like when we had Reach, and Reach knew that he was starting every game regardless, because we had no one else to replace him. Do you know, if Bakinson doesn't put a shift in, Volks will go in. And if Volks will put a shift in, Bios will turn up. Do you know, it's just like, and then it's Dele Bashiro just chilling out on the bench. Like, what are we doing?
Stevie, we've got to get Dele Bashiro signed up to a contract, haven't we?
Yeah, 100%. I absolutely think we do. It's been a busy week. I think I've seen a couple of bits where people are saying that we're no further on and it's starting to stall a little bit, which is a bit of a worry.
He must want guaranteed start time, surely.
I don't think players do that anymore. I don't, you know, maybe it's me being naive, but you can't put in a contract. I
want to play percentage
this many games. You know, you look at top level, you look at Ronaldo. You know, he's on the, as we record tonight, he's sat on bench at Man United.
He looks old now though.
Well, that's a conversation for another point.
Oh, Naldo.
I wish I looked like him when I was his age, to be fair, Blair.
Oh, no, he still looks great. I mean, but
I hope I look like him when I'm as old as he is. But, you know, I don't know what's going on. My worry is that in the midst of all the positive performances that we're getting out of Byers, Volks, Bakinson, Bannon, we've got a lad who's an absolute asset, who's a little bit different to them. You know, Bakinson, to me, seems to be the kind of player who'll sit a little bit deeper. Mm-hmm. Bannon is on another level. We talk about that every week, but he's, what, 32 now? We've got Volks, who's sort of late 20s, 28-ish. From my point of view, we've got a lad in Dele Bashiro. I said it at the start of the season when he scored the two goals against whoever it was, Portsmouth, was it? We've got a guy that if we can tie down, he gets us out of the league, whatever the contract's written, if we've got some sort
of... He's only going to get better, isn't he?
Yeah, but we've got a sell-on clause potentially to a player who's going to go and play mid-table Premiership football in 3-4 years' time. I'd wish him well on that. I don't want is him going to Plymouth and getting out of the league, or I don't want him going across town to Sheffield United and making a career out of it like we've talked about in the past, these players that have moved on. I want him, if he's going to leave the club, I want him to go on to bigger and better things and us to get some money out of it. And I think that's probably 2-3 potentially years down the line. If he can get us, be involved in getting us up out of the league this year, I think that'd be fantastic.
Yeah, I've just looked as well. Bakinson's 24, Byers is 26, and Dele Bashiro is 22. This is just like, wow.
3 years, isn't it?
Yeah, we've got, it's first time in a long time, isn't it? We've got a squad with like, youth on its side.
Listen to us. I can't remember a show like this.
Wait until the final episode of it, because it all goes wrong.
On the absolute fucking mug on. John, tell me about that last goal. How did that go in? What happened? I've watched it like 6 times, and I'm like, what is it in the air? What did he hit it with? It was going wide. Like it kind of comes over, and it kind of bobbles, and it loops and curls at the same time. I mean, what happened there?
It's an odd one, isn't it? It looked like he was just primed to just kind of just place it in, didn't it? It was a great ball across from out wide there. But like you say, the connection wasn't quite what you'd expect, and it kind of just loops up, doesn't it? Like you say, and catches the keeper off guard and then just goes in. But I guess that's a striker's story, isn't it? You can't score for Toffee, and then all of a sudden you get, you know, goals coming in off your backside and everything nice.
Steve shaking his head here. Steve shaking his head. I reckon he's going to say he just swung a boat at it and he floated in. Is that what you're saying, Steve?
100%. You've just said you're waiting for a goal that goes in off your arse. That's one. It was the second goal of the day, but that's it's rolled down his shin. It's his foot three times before it's gone in. It's honestly.
Last week we were saying that he had to buy a goal. Do you know what I mean? He was desperate for a goal, and then that one happened. Just like, all right, mug me off again.
I tell you what, Blair. That's why we have you on, pal. So you can just sort of just go. Bloody hellfire! And then snag somebody off, and then all of a sudden they pull the best.
What made me laugh about Gregory's second goal was Giddens's commentary. It was like, oh, what a fabulous goal! He's lobbed it over the keeper, and I'm like, mate, you just stuck his foot out.
Giddens.
Well, we appreciate you trying to be polite about it, John, but I think the consensus is he's just hit it and he's gone in.
Like I say, when strikers are, they can't buy a goal, and then all of a sudden they're coming in off all body parts, aren't they?
Yeah.
Who cares? It was 2-0 and we won, didn't we? So
and do you know what? There was an element of job done. We've bashed Cambridge out of the way. I hope Stevie had a better day out than what he did last time we were there. You know what I mean? Job done. We're now, I didn't even look at the bloody league. Where are we in the league? What's happening? Where are we? We're still third, right?
We're third in the league. It's been a decent week, to be fair. From my point of view, teams around us have started to drop points. Was it Portsmouth lost? They lost 3-0 the other night, didn't they? And that was one of their three games in hand. So I'm looking at it now. The best they can do if they win their games in hand is be 1 point behind us. So that's the ball back in our court to an extent.
Well, that gap between third and fourth is really wide open now, isn't it? It's like 7 points, and we've got Ipswich coming up, haven't we? It's going to be a big 6-pointer, that one, and it's a type of fix.
We played Ipswich.
Oh wait, no, they said it on the what did they say on the commentary? I only heard that. Have we played them? Yeah, we have played them.
Drew 2-2, didn't we? We were 2-0 down.
Andy Giddens has sold me down the river on that one. I even wrote it down. I should have checked it. I didn't want to check Andy Giddens's work, to be fair.
We've played everybody around. We've played the top seven. The next best team that we've got to play is Shrewsbury. We've got Derby to play.
Yeah, they're eighth, aren't they? Shrewsbury are eighth.
Having a great season, Shrewsbury.
It's Jay Dunkley, mate. Jay Dunkley at the back.
Slop on Jay Dunkley. Nice one. Right, listen. So it's that time of the show we've all been waiting for. Blair is bringing the fire this week. It's time for the quiz. I promise I'll get a theme tune at some point, but I do need one, don't I?
We've got two. We can either do most assists, top 25 assists. So, who got the most assists, top 25 list of all? On Transfermarkt, it might be all time. It's probably in, but it's going back 30 years at least. So, anyone listen to this? Or we can do the playoff final starting 11 and subs.
Oh, yeah, that's a good one. Let's do that one because the other one sounded shit.
The most recent one.
2016.
Yeah, the whole one.
Right, okay.
The one we don't want to remember, but we are now.
Okay, let's have an order of players, please, Blair.
Let me get the.
This is a good bit. This is a good bit, isn't it?
Let me get the teams up then.
All we had to do was a bloody game show.
Just Wednesday or Wednesday and Hull.
Wednesday and Hull.
We can take Hull players as well.
Yeah. Let's just see if I get a better. Just pad full fudge. Just make some knob jokes or something, mate.
So,
how was your holiday?
That was all right. It was all right. Went to Mallorca. Went to Palma Nova.
Always away, you.
Yeah, I know. I had to go back to work and do some work today. I was absolutely furious about it. But the staff there, commentator, commented on what a lovely tan I had. So that's
right,
nice.
Brilliant. That's fantastic.
That's all I wanted.
Before you arrived.
Yeah. Come back. You're even browner, fudge. Yeah. It's weird, though, isn't it? Yeah. Tell you what, and then I spent the last 2 days in a cabin in Winchester, South Winchester Golf Lodges, with me and the lads. And they've got all these cabins have got like large hot tubs in it, and six hairy ass rugby players sat in a hot tub can leave quite the amount of cloudy water. After you should have seen it look like bloody skin soup. Any road, welcome back. That's my advert.
Already, so the order we're going in is Fudge, John, Steve.
Fudge, John, Steve. Here we are then. All right, then, go on then.
Go then.
Oh, it's me, so, Kieran Westwood.
Kieran Westwood, boom. Jonathan.
The heartbreaking twat, Modiana.
Every now and then I always tweet, good morning everyone, except Modiana.
Still pissed by then.
Yeah. Steve?
I'm going to get the big Wednesday ones out of the way, Bannon.
Yeah.
I'm going to go with Cheeky Nando Forestieri.
Yeah, God. Went Curtis David. Oh.
Your go, John.
Curtis David.
Yeah.
Come on, mate. Yeah. Nice
when, when he put his big toe on that shot, oh, my God. It was going to score, wasn't it? Oh, it still hurts. Still right, hurts. Go on, Steve.
Jack Hunt.
Yeah.
Shit. Kieran Lee.
Oh!
Yeah. Let's look at his team. What a team. What a team.
Mate, is it me?
Yeah. Yeah.
Glenn Louvens.
Yes.
Steve.
Me?
Yeah.
Gary Hooper.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. We've nearly done the starting 11 now.
Oh, that must be fucked. Liam Palmer.
No. Is it on there?
What?
He didn't make the bench.
Jack, he didn't make the bloody bench.
He didn't make the bench, mate.
Are you winding me up?
You are. Get out.
I've won the last two. That was my hat trick. Liam Palmer. Oh, fudge out. Fudge out at three. Piss poor. I've done that to save some face, lads. I'll not lie. In about two rounds, it gets a bit fucking ropey. John, you're up.
Go on, John.
Tom Lees?
Yeah.
I was trying to think.
I've got one definite Hull player, and I'm going to save him. I'm gambling. And I'll tell you why I've got this one Hull player in a minute. And then I've got another one that's a 50-50. I'm just looking now. We've had Westwood, Bannon, Forestieri, Hunt.
Get on me, Steve.
Just bear with me. Westwood, Bannon, Forestieri, Hunt, Lee, Louvens, Tom Lees,
yeah.
Ross Wallace.
Oh.
Fudge, man. How did you forget these?
Mate, I was trying to think of Tom Lees and I was like, nicknamed a fish after him. And it just, you know, you just have a brain fart.
Yeah.
Just had that. So go
Palmer's
on.
Palmer's been around long enough.
Yeah, no, so I thought, I'll play it safe. Go on, John, you're up.
I'm gonna have a stab at a bench player. I'm going to say Alex Lopez.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, good one, John.
Didn't come on.
No, I should have started.
I was absolutely trolled by then.
Lopez.
I was drunk. I was very drunk this day.
One, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Who have I missed?
Who have you missed?
Hang on. Westwood, Hunt. Poodle.
Yeah, Poodle, yeah.
Oh, shit, yeah.
The Poodle.
Remember him? Right. Amazing.
Here we are, John.
Another bench player. Atty Newhew.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, nice. Is Steve going to play his Hull City player now? It's a big card to play. Oh, he's just remembered somebody.
Not yet, because I've just realised we've missed somebody else.
Go on.
Hutchinson.
Yeah. That's a start 11. Start 11's done.
Oh,
what a side, by the way. Oh,
I'm writing them down as we go.
I was doing the dots.
Westwood kept us in that game, though, let's be honest. Like, he made some right saves that game.
Go on, John.
I'm gonna have to try. I think I'm out here. I'm going to have to try a Hull City player. Livermore.
Oh, Jake Livermore.
Yeah, he's in there.
Steve's got his smug face on. He's still having another bench
player. You look at the Hull team and you're like, no wonder he lost. It's ridiculous.
Yeah,
he's
mental.
Say that, I'm about to play my Joker. And it makes me wonder how they fucking won.
I'm so curious. Go on, then.
Moses Adebadju.
Yeah. He started the game.
What a bio.
It was one of the reasons when we signed him. I was like, what a signing.
isn't it? And then it turned out he didn't even have a 50p head. He didn't have an head. Just kept missing it.
I think he was still on their books. I'm going to go Tom Huddleston.
Yeah.
Fucking hell, John's good at this here, Steve. I tell
just
you what.
Just an Odabaggio. Like, do you think he's like the record player for giving away penalties for Sheffield Wednesday?
I think he did get that moniker. I think one of the lads
he gave
the
away a lot of penalties. I think he gave away 2 in one game, I think.
Yeah.
Derby or Preston?
Derby, I think that one might have been.
Might be, I think it was Preston. I think, or it might have been the one where he just kind of the ball came in, it kind of slid past his head, and you go, sick one.
You're getting paid thousands,
innit? Innit? And then he signed for, is it QPR he signed for? And then a pre-season friendly against Man U scored one of the best goals I've ever seen. Yeah. Go on then. We've got Stevie, haven't we?
Mm-hmm.
Hey.
Yep.
I've got 2. Alex Bruce.
Yeah. Bush.
John.
Not sure if he was still on their team or if he'd moved on there. And I'll go for El Mohammeda.
He were there because I think there was a story of Vic shouting at him after the game.
Brilliant. Go on, Steve. You go, Steve.
Because El Mohammeda kept being injured, didn't he? He kept falling down in the second half, but then his leg hurt.
Shit, I was in the clock out, wasn't he?
I'm going back to us. And I'm going reserve goalkeeper.
Ooh.
And I think Cameron Dawson was too young.
Ooh.
And I'm trying to remember if this was the season. I'm probably a couple of years out, but me head's gone. Had we got rid of Kirkland or did we have Wildsmith? And I'm going to go Wildsmith. Because I think that'd be the number.
You've got yourself a correct there.
Steve. Oh, he's done well. That's a big one there, Steve. That's big.
Oh, that's a great shot.
There's people shouting at their smart speakers in their house and their car radios, just naming players right now, John. Pressure's on, pal. Pressure's on.
I'm going to write down one more that I've just remembered as well.
Showboating now, John. Showboating.
Yeah. It's a choice between a centre forward and a centre half, and I'm not sure either way with them, but.
Oh, spelt it wrong.
Go with the defence. I'm going to go bench player Hull, Sonny Aluko.
You're out, John.
Oh, yeah. John. Oh,
for the
John.
Win, for the win, Steve. You've got to get this one for the win.
Who's your big in?
I've got Jeremy Halan.
Yes, he bloody did play an all. I even know that.
He came on 63rd
last game
minute.
Before he quit football, wasn't it? Yeah.
Oh, so Steve.
I'll just go for the other
was the Reece wins. Burke. I don't know if he was there. Reece Burke?
No.
We're out on both then. So,
The players we missed for Wednesday were Vincent Sasso.
So,
because Zhao there. Was Zhao there that year?
Marco Matthias and Lucas Zhao.
What are we doing, lads?
Jesus, lads, that's a piss poor attempt, isn't it? You know that people for the last 10 minutes have just been shouting Zhao at the radio, going Zhao, Zhao, Zhao. And if the women are doing it, Zhao, 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 which sounds like Michael Jackson stepping on a Lego. So Blair, that was a great. I'm just going to finish on that gag. Blair, that was a great one. That was a great one. Next week, I'm going to play Aisha's. And I tell you what, it's bloody hard. It's good. You'll enjoy it.
Hull had Andy Robertson, Harry Maguire in their team.
Did they?
Harry Maguire came off the bench. Robertson started. Snodgrass started. And you just kind of like think, parachute payments can get in the fucking bin, can't they?
Oh, mate, don't get me started on that. Don't get me started on that. So, also, listen, I'm just going to reference it because I know sod all about it. I've seen the goals. It was nice to see Alex Mighton doing bits and all the rest of it. Did anybody watch the Leicester under 21 game?
Yeah, I did. Yeah.
I wouldn't have paid 10p.
You wouldn't have paid 10p. No, it was. He more gave some youngsters a game as much as he could because there's still certain restrictions on your player selections, even though it was a dead rubber because both teams were out. So we got the likes of Shipston playing, and the Truman played, a young lad called Truman. Scored. Who had a good game, actually. Yeah, he scored. He had a good game, Truman. He did well. And Shipston was pretty solid as well. I was screaming for Cads or Cadamateri, as you all know, is the next wonder striker that we think will come to the first team and ends up getting poached by someone in Europe and never seeing him again.
By their sister club, and then
by sister club,
it's a free transfer to their main club,
the Belgian sister club.
Cadamateri only came on for like last 5 minutes, so he didn't really have any real impact. But nice to see a few young ones getting a game. It just looked like an under-23 game, to be honest.
I've got to go special mention to Callum Patterson for slapping that one in. I thought that was a proper goal. You know what I mean? Here, lads, what you're coming here thinking you're all Premier League and whatnot? Watch this, Bosh. See you later. You know what I mean?
Can I just? I'm absolutely buzzing. Just a personal one. Years and years ago, when I were playing football, I played with Shipston's dad. So when I was a bang average footballer playing for Sheffield FC, I got carried by a lad called Richard Shipston, who still does bits at Wednesday. He's part of the St John's team. He sits next to the stand, the dugout, at the bottom of the south. And it was his lad that came on. Still get to speak to him a little bit here and there. And they're Wednesday through and through. So for somebody to have had that career progression, that sort of academy sort of breakthrough, to see it being a lad who is genuinely, it's not somebody who's, with due respect to Cadamateri, he's not necessarily a Wednesday fan who's come in, but he's part of the system. This is a lad who's grown up, blue and white, Sheffield Wednesday through and through. And for him and his family to watch him go put the shirt on and step out in front of, a few people, but to go and do something that we'd all aspire to do and want our kids to be able to do one day as Wednesday fans, it gave me goosebumps. And I'm really, really pleased for the family. Don't speak to him very often now other than socials or the odd sort of 2-3 minutes on match days, but it was brilliant to see him coming on and by all accounts doing really, really well. That's brilliant. And it's testament to the progression, the development that we've made as a club in terms of our academy setup, and credit to people like Steve Haslam, because we've talked over the last 18 months about Sheffield United, the other side of the city, having a great setup and, the players that they bring through. The fact that we can have players coming in on a Tuesday night and doing bits like that is brilliant, and long may it continue.
Fair enough. Look at that. Bringing it in, lads. Bringing it in. I like that strenuous link with the club. Speaking of strenuous link with the club, Mr. Alexander has been dismissed as the manager of the ladies' team. Sorry. Mutual consent. He now no longer is the manager of the ladies' team. Now, unfortunately, the ladies' game is woefully underfunded, and you've got to work out what players you're going to get and how you can get them and what level you get in. But on the back of some absolute horrific results for Sheffield Wednesday's ladies, they got beat 8-1, they got beat 6-0, they got beat 13-0, they got beat 8-1 again. Unfortunately, the last game that they played, they won 8-2. So, just imagine winning 8-2 and then getting your marching orders. But
we've turned a corner.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. He's sat there. Oh, cheers.
According to the website I'm on, it says that they were 2-0 down at half time. So, I don't know what they did. They probably put, Callum Patterson in a
win. Sacked him at half time. Yeah.
Sacked him at half time. They're all right, ladies, we're all in charge here. This is it. This is gone. So, there'll be some. There'll be some movement in that going forward. Does anybody have any other business before I wrap this up and let everybody get on with their day?
Lincoln, Saturday.
Oh, shit. Yeah, I better do the... hang on, this is where I go to my notes, innit? Where I go to the predictions. Blair, you're the only one that nailed it last week, pal.
I mean, what can I say?
Sure. So, right, coming up, we've got Lincoln City. John, hit me up with a predict.
I think it's going to be a similar sort of deal to what we just had. So I think we'll get maybe a tight affair again. I'm going 2-0 again.
2-0 for John. Blair?
This is like an acid test, isn't it? Because Lincoln last season was the team that really unstuck us. So if we go and smash Lincoln off park, can't have anyone more else, can we, Steve? So I'm saying, we're at home, aren't we? 2-0 Wednesday.
Aren't we away?
Are we away?
We're away.
Yeah. Oh, 1-0.
Very diplomatic of you, Blair, there. Well done. Stevie?
1-0.
What? Oh, bloody, you reckon this is going to be one of them that we comp?
Turn your Twitter off, mate. If not, boom.
I'll tell you. 1-1, own goal from Liam Palmer. Steve is nowhere to be seen. Like, can you imagine? Yeah. I'm gonna go for a 1-0 win. I think I'm gonna go with Blair. I think you're right. I think it'll be an early goal, and then that'll be it. And it'll be Hennigan shouting his own name and heading it back where it's come from, and that's what's gonna happen
constantly.
Yeah, just that's it with his
bleeding from all of.
Yeah. What we should do, we should all save up as a podcast. Yeah, you know, start with a fundraiser and get him a Miguel Yera
skullcap signed.
Signed skullcap. I swear to God, I love the idea of him wearing a skullcap with my name signed on it. Like, you know what I mean? Right, listen, thanks a lot for joining us tonight. It's been it's a shorter one this evening, and see you later.
The Wednesday Week is sponsored by Michael Constantine Wealth Management. We bet you can't find a financial advisor closer to Hillsborough Stadium.
It's the 90th minute. You've got all your mates round. You've got your McNugget share boxes coming down the left wing ready to go. Your mate's already been booked for double dipping and you steal the last nugget, snatching all 3 points back of the net. Le Bosch. Automate delivery now on the McDonald's app. You in? At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com for more information. See you later.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.